Is it on the pad? That's out. Jake Ball has got his man, LBW. Next ball's bowled him. Stumps out of the ground. Jake Ball blasts one through the defences, punches the air in delight.
This is the talk of Trent Bridge.
I'm Matt Freeman, and I'm joined by two outlaws with dispatches from down under this week as the Australian summer draws to a close. Jake Ball looks back on winning the BBL with Sydney Sixers and on how it whet his appetite for more success with Notts this summer.
We love our fans at Trent Bridge. We obviously having won it last year to hopefully do what the Sixers did and go back to back. That'll be something that we really want to try and do this year for the fans.
Jake also spoke about the surprise waiting for him when he arrived home.
My girlfriend, she left the Christmas tree up. She knows I love Christmas, so she left the Christmas tree up and left all the presents under it. So when I got back, I had Christmas Day when I got back, and it was snowing, so I got snow on my Christmas Day, which was nice.
And Sol Budinger shares the reasons why his stint in Oz was so special.
Scored a few runs, but more family time, because I haven't seen my family in over a year with COVID. And just work on my fitness and enjoy the sun, really.
But first, I asked Jake how he was adapting to life back in England.
It's been pretty cold, to be fair, but it's been nice to be back. It turned out from what was supposed to be quite a short trip away from home to actually be quite a long one. Obviously, when I left for South Africa, I thought I'd be coming back sort of middle of December, and then ended up being away till the beginning of February. So it was a nice surprise. It's a tournament I've always wanted to play in. So as soon as I got the opportunity to go and play in the Big Bash, it was a no-brainer. So yeah, it was good winter all around, really.
I forgot about that, because it was quite a late call up to the BBL, and it was while you were out there, wasn't it? So yeah, it was very much the last minute thing. You didn't get back in between.
No, yeah, it was literally like the last week I was there. It was I spoke to, Tom Curran was with us, and I sort of caught wind that he wasn't going to be going. So I had a little chat with him, and then obviously with DC at the Sixers as well, a chat with him and sort of got things moving from there. And then next thing you know, I'm on the plane over. It was it happened quite quickly. And as I say, it was as soon as I got the opportunity, there was no second thought, really. It was, 100% want to go.
What was that experience like, first BBL, compared to the 10 years or so of Blast cricket you've been playing?
It was interesting. Obviously, they still have like restrictions and stuff there. I only got to spend a week in Sydney, which was my last week of the whole tour. But it was a good experience. It was great to play in it. Good to sort of test your skills against different types of players and sort of try and adapt to the way they play. I find first time playing in their competition, I found that they play their cricket a lot differently to ours. Obviously, it's the first time I've been over there and played sort of all my T20 cricket in the Blast. So, it was interesting. It was a good experience, and one that I learned a lot about myself out there as well. So it was a good experience all around, really.
Sort of things did you find that were different then in the way they kind of approached the game?
I found that the batters are more, I think in England we're a bit more technical and like to try and pick pockets and hit gaps and be a bit fiddly, whereas I think there they don't mind if they swing and miss two because they back themselves to whack the third one for six. It's they're a bit more sort of like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they're stronger. So sort of like down back end of the order, everyone can hit sixes. So you have to be a little bit more subtle with your changes of pace and things like that. And I found that they're a lot stronger, and pretty much everyone from 1 to 11 can all hit sixes. So that's a big difference compared to playing over here.
And crowds back in as well. Something we've missed over here for, well, a year or so, I suppose, now, really. What was that like?
Yeah, it was nice. I think the first one I had was only about 2,000 or 3,000, because obviously our home games we were playing all over the place, so we weren't getting home crowds. So, obviously the Australian crowd always quite welcoming to the English as well. So when you field it on the boundary, whether it's a home game or an away game, you always get a little bit of stick. So that was quite nice. I missed that. But it was nice. Yeah, the final was 27,500. It was a great atmosphere. It was it was nice to see crowds in, and it makes such a big difference to sport. I think as soon as we can get them back in at Trent Bridge, the better. It makes such a big difference to the home players. It gave everyone such a big lift to be playing in front of that big crowd, and we definitely used it to our advantage in the final when we lifted the trophy.
Yeah, it must have whet the appetite. And yeah, with that final being a home final as well, just having gone through a year like we've just been through, winning the trophy without anyone there, the thought of maybe doing something like that with fans this season.
Yeah, we love our fans at Trent Bridge. We make no qualms about it. I think we always say that one of the best parts of the season when we get to play in front of those big crowds on a Friday night down at Trent Bridge under the lights, There's nothing like it, really. I mean, I said it was 27.5 at the SCG, but when we've got 15, 16,000 in at Trent Bridge, they make just as much noise, and that's why we love them so much. And obviously, having won it last year, to hopefully do what the Sixers did this year and back it up and go back to back, that'll be great, and something that we really want to try and do this year for the fans, hopefully with them back in the grounds.
Yeah, yeah, and we had noticed. In the couple of days after the BBL win, sort of at the same time on your social medias, you'd flown home and were back in Nottingham. Dan Christian was still out with the trophy at the same time. I mean, how were those celebrations?
The celebrations were good. Not so good for me getting on a flight. I think I had a couple of hours sleep and then straight to the airport, which wasn't ideal. But they celebrate hard. And so they should. It was a long tournament, and I sort of forgot that they were as away from their families as well. Obviously, they was allowed families in at Christmas for a week or two, but that was it. So they was away from their families as well. So it was a long, hard slog of a tournament, and the reward of winning it at the end of it was a big relief, and rightly so. I think they celebrated for about three or four days afterwards. I kept getting pictures through on the WhatsApp groups and stuff still going. So I've had to have a little detox since I've been back. I've not touched it. I've look at it.
Solid effort from Dan to be last man standing, I thought, as well.
Yeah, he's always last man standing. He's making the most of it, isn't he?
Why not? And you sort of came back to a surprise Christmas, didn't you? When you got back home.
Yeah, my girlfriend. She left the Christmas tree up. She knows I love Christmas, so she left the Christmas tree up and left all the presents under it. So when I got back, I had Christmas Day. When I got back, I had a nice Christmas dinner, and it was lovely. And it was cold enough as well, and it was snowing. So I got snow on my Christmas Day, which was nice.
Yeah, you probably did better than we actually did with our real Christmas Day in the end, in that sense. I mean, I suppose Christmas in Oz, you were right in the midst of things. So what was the actual time like over there?
I got out of quarantine on Christmas morning. So
right.
So I was we had a Christmas like brunch or lunch with the rest of the England lads that were in quarantine with me, which was in Brisbane. And then we drove an hour down the road to the Gold Coast, where we had a bit of a Christmas lunch with three or four of the other teams. And then that was it, pretty much. And then, because we had a game 2 days after, it was straight back into training and straight into it, really. So it's not the same. You don't get the nice winter walks and the wrap up nice and warm and get around the fire. It's a lot different. But yeah, happy to have had my Christmas when I got home.
Yeah, and now on to India in about a week or so's time as we record this with England. Second time this winter out there with the England side. I mean, how was that time in South Africa first off?
Yeah, it was interesting with all the COVID stuff going around, and it was an interesting tour, but it was good to get back with the lads and get back training and train in that sort of elite environment with so many good players. When you're bowling at the likes of Joss and Stokesy and Rooty and Morgs and the Nets, you know, you have to be on, and it's just a good chance to show what you can do and what you've sort of learned. And I feel like my T20 games developed a lot over the last couple of years. So it was nice to go and sort of bowl at those in the Nets and show them sort of where my skill level has gone to. So that was nice. Then obviously going to India, where the T20 World Cup's going to be end of this year or whenever. End of this year. So that's another good opportunity to show what I can do. I'm going as reserve, but there'll be practice games, there'll be middle practice, things like that, so I can show what skills I can and use on their pitches. Where I feel I've got a good skill set to play on the slower turny pitches. So yeah, it's just using it as a great opportunity. One that probably 18 months ago I'd have said you're crazy if you thought I was going to get anywhere near anytime soon. So yeah, it's a big bonus for me, and just looking to enjoy it and show what I can do again.
Yeah, and I suppose it can work both ways. They've become very much established as like the top white ball side in world cricket at the minute. So there must be things that you can pick up from them in their training environment and the way they go about things as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's first time I've sort of been in and around the likes of Joff, learning stuff from him. Obviously, how good he is at his T20 cricket, and linking back up with a few of the other lads like CJ. So CJ's second or third or whatever he is in the T20. Rankings at the minute. So just getting back and throwing ideas around at them. It was nice to get in a net and say just bounce some ideas off each other and see what we can do and see what I can take off them. And they take a few things off me as well, which is quite nice as well. So it's good to get in that environment with those types of players and learn, and you're always learning and trying to develop, and because the game's always moving forward. So if you stop learning, then you're going to get left behind. So, it's nice to do that.
And with crowds starting to come back in India, I suppose it's getting back towards a sort of typical Indian international cricket experience. I mean, having played over there in internationals before as well, what is that experience like of an international Indian crowd and experience?
Like nothing else, really. It's they're crackers. They love their cricket. It's so loud you can't even hear yourself think sometimes when you're on the pitch. Their passion for the game and just everything that comes with playing India in India. It's a great experience, and so I've been lucky enough to experience it and play a full ODI series last time I was there. So played in front of 80,000 at a few places. It was it was a great experience, and one that's whet the appetite, and hopefully be able to do it again in the future.
Are they a bit more even-handed than the Aussie fans if you're out there on the boundary edge?
Yeah, a little bit more. It's still, there's that many people that you can't really pick out any certain sledges. So it's just noise, and it's deafening at times, especially when Dhoni or Kohli walked out. So it was. Yeah, it's a great experience.
Yeah, and what does it demand from you as a seamer as well? We've seen, obviously, it's been a very different couple of tests in the past couple of weeks for England in terms of how the quick bowlers have been able to impact things. What sort of things does it demand from you?
I think the last time I played there, I played three ODIs, and every pitch was completely different. I think the last pitch at Eden Gardens were actually quite bouncy and it seemed a little bit, so you could use your typical like English skills on there, whereas the other two were a little bit slower and lower and took a bit of turn, so you'd probably tend to roll a lot more cutters and you'd probably have to get your length a little bit fuller, just things like that. It's just assessing the situation. When you bowl a couple of balls, that's what a bowling unit does. When the openers are bowled on it, you sort of speak to them what they're thinking, and then you sort of go from there. But usually it's a lot of cutters, a lot of slow balls, just using the assistance that's there, because when white ball cricket now, not much is there for the bowler. So it's nice when you do have a little bit of assistance.
Yeah, and another period of sort of hotel quarantine coming up with that as well. You must be getting pretty used to that by now.
Yeah. I'm playing a lot of Call of Duty, which you think I'd be getting better at it, but I think I'm actually getting worse at it. A lot of the lads take the mickey out of me, how bad I am, because we get to play together. But it is what it is. It's the times we are in now. So six more days in a hotel room is not going to hurt me. Just get on with it and get it done. And then hopefully a successful series.
Who's leading those Call of Duty rankings at the minute then? Because it seems like everyone's back in on that at the minute.
In the England side, it's Jofra, Stokesy, yes. Those lads. Liam Livingston plays it more than anyone I've ever known. And I think in the not side, you know, I think Tom Moores is pretty good. Lyndon James, Sol's actually really good. So when you speak to Sol, you can talk to him about how good I am. But yeah, it's just it's good at wasting time. It you can be playing. It feels like you've been playing half an hour, and you look up and you've wasted 2 or 3 hours. So it's actually quite nice. So yeah, I'm not sure I'll continue playing in the summer when I'm allowed out and actually go and see people and do stuff. But it's kept me going all winter.
That's Jake Ball discussing his winter so far, and all that talk of Warzone meant there was only one place to start with Sol Budinger. Can his Call of Duty skills really be as good as they sound?
I think I'm up there in the club. I think Tom Moores is pushing there, but I think I've got more Warzone wins. But it's just good to play all the boys, especially if a few of the lads are in lockdown and pass the time really well.
How's Jake's Warzone coming on? He wasn't that sort of up on his own abilities, if I'm honest.
No, he's all right. He's good. He's a good sniper, a good camper on the high buildings, but it's just good fun. Have a laugh, have a joke, and just talk about other things as well. Because you're all on the mic and you're all talking to each other. So I suppose it's better than a phone call sometimes.
So if Jake's a sniper, what's your approach? What do you go for?
I'm a bit more aggressive. You know, push buildings, submachine gun, push other teams. But it's just like I said, good fun. Don't take it too seriously. I think Tom takes it a bit too seriously. But it's all good.
So we're talking about sort of passing time in quarantine. You are, at the minute, as we record this, in quarantine back over here, having come back from Australia. How's the last few days been?
Oh, it's been a bit cold, a bit of climate change. I spoke to a few of the lads and they did warn me it's been cold, but when you step out the plane and that fresh air hits you. But yeah, I've got been doing 10 days here, got 5 days left. But yeah, it's been pretty good.
So, yeah, it's been a little bit of time out in Australia with Gold Coast. Overall, how did that go for you out on the field?
Yeah, we played all right. We won the T20 comp in the Brisbane Grey comp, which was good. Scored a few runs, but like I said, just more family time because I haven't seen my family in over a year with COVID, and just work on my fitness and enjoy the sun, really, and play cricket every Saturday. Which is good because we've starved of it, especially in the twos cricket. Had 1 month of it. So it was good to get out in the park, in the sun, and see the family.
Yeah, I was going to mention because, yes, particularly with no second 11 stuff or not much second 11 stuff last year, that's probably been your sort of longest run of cricket for quite a while.
Yeah, it was quite frustrating. You know, obviously we had the full winter and I felt my game came on a lot. But, you know, with the pandemic, you can't complain with that, not playing. So a month of cricket, it was all right. At least we got some cricket in. And obviously, I was fortunate enough to go back to Oz and have a few months playing there and getting games under my belt, which I really wanted.
Yeah. Are there things you can take from playing that grade cricket that sort of will still apply over in English conditions?
I think for me, just trying to bat long periods of time in the Red Bull, but it is a different, you know, club cricket in Australia, it's a good learning. You know, it's different wicket, harder wicket, flatter wicket, different ball, Kookaburra, doesn't swing as much, but bouncy wicket. So it was good to bat there as a batter. You know, sometimes early doors in England, swings around with the Duke on green tops, it's not much fun. But no, it was a good challenge.
Yeah, now as you say, there were a couple of good half centuries in there for yourself. And I saw you were at the other end for a bit of a Max Bryant innings that went off a bit in the end, 130 off 60-odd. What was that like to stand at the other end to?
I know, it was good the other end. I just kept giving him the one and just watching the other end. He just started bullying attacks. And it was just good to learn from him and how clean he strikes the ball, doesn't try to overhit it. And yeah, it was just good fun. He's a good lad as well.
Yeah, and he played a bit in the BBL during that sort of winter as well. What sort of things can you learn from someone who's sort of gone on to become a bit of a consistent appearance maker in that form?
I just think the way, as a batter, the way he goes about it, he doesn't overcomplicate it. He's a laid-back guy. But obviously, when he steps across the rope, he's focused. He knows his plan. He's clear-minded. He knows what he's going to do. And I think that he doesn't overcomplicate it. And I think I can take a lot. And a lot of people can do that, especially in T20. A lot of people try to overcomplicate it. Just got to watch the ball, hit the middle of the bat.
Yeah, and now we're, well, you know, you're out of quarantine in 5 days. What are the sort of, what are your thoughts and aims for this next season? Hopefully a full season, and hopefully a lot of cricket you can get your teeth stuck into.
Yeah, I think it'll be, I think there's a month before the season starts. The tent goes up next week, and it'll be a good chance to home in some skills and hopefully push for a first team spot, which is the ideal goal.
Yeah, and how did you find that tent last year? It seemed to go down pretty well in the end.
Yeah, it's pretty good. In it for bat and ball, especially when the bowler's using a new ball and it's challenging, and that's what you want. You know, you want to challenge yourself in practice, and then in a game, it'll be easier. But yeah, it was good last year, and I'm looking forward to it this year.
That's Sol Budinger joining me as he completed his quarantine period at home. And that's it for this week's Talk of Trent Bridge. We'll be back soon, but there's plenty more behind-the-scenes content on the website at trentbridge.co.uk.